Now it's official. Okay. So I have great difficulty with this sugya, the sugya on Lamed Tesamid Aleph going over to Lamed Tesamid Beis, which really is an explanation of the Mishnah. Let's just go back to the Mishnah and we'll review what we're talking about. And I'll make a few points on the Gemara, not necessarily organized, but we'll do the best we can. The Mishnah has four cases. There are four halachos in the Mishnah. Case number one involves a halacha of cooking. It's cooking in the sense of I should not put an egg next to a hot water urn because the egg, right, it will get round or mixed up, etc. That's considered cooking. Case number two in the Mishnah is also cooking, but it's cooking on something which was heated in the heated by the sun, right? It's called toldos hacham, and there's a dispute with Yossi and the Chachamim in case number two as to whether toldos hacham is permitted or forbidden, right? That's a machlokes as to whether I make a gezeira toldos chama atu toldos ha'ar. That's case two. Case three in the Mishnah. Lo yatminena b'chol u'bavak. You're not allowed to take that egg, right, and put it in the dust in order to heat up the egg. The Gemara over here speaks within Rabbi Yosei. There is a conversation on Lamed Tes Omer Aleph, a dispute between Rabba and Rav Yosef about why Rabbi Yosei agrees that in case three it is forbidden. But in case three, where I put the egg in the dirt, apparently even Rabbi Yosei says it's forbidden. Why is that? Either the reason is because it is somehow akin to Hatmana. It is like the halacha of not insulating, not completely encasing food to warm it up. Or the reason why it is forbidden is because of mipnei shemezes afar mimkomo, because you are moving dirt. And the moving dirt issue was itself a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, whether the issue is moving dirt in the sense of digging, which is a malacha on Shabbos, that's Rashi's understanding, or is it moving dirt in the sense of muktzah, in the sense of I'm not allowed to move dirt on Shabbos? And that would mean that it's forbidden to move muktzah even via something else, which is called tiltul min hatzad, right? It's called indirect moving of muktzah. That is the dispute. Rashi and Tosos. Now, in the Gemara, it is clear, again, within case number three, that the Gemara deals with how come Rabbi Yosei says it's forbidden. And it is forbidden for one of two reasons, either because of Hatmana or because of Mipnei Shemezes Afar Mimkomo. In that case number three, the Gemara says the afar tichoach is permitted. If it is very granulated sand, it is, again, I'm not sure what the word afar tichoach means. It could mean one of two things to me. It could either mean really soft, granulated, super granulated sand, or it could mean something like quicksand. Remember, like from Gilligan's Island, that like everyone is constantly being swallowed up by quicksand. Most of you probably don't know what Gilligan's Island is, but
Red
you can look it up. You
wine,
can find it on YouTube.
different
Lady, this
to
is not the type of thing to ask a question on.
sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So now the point is that by afar tichoach, by very soft sand, there is no concern of mezes afar. So according to Rashi, that mezes afar means digging, means the malacha of choresh. So I understand that it's not called digging if the item will be swallowed up right away. It's not called digging a hole if the hole will be filled in right away. That's Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. Tosfos deals with the Rashi in a slightly more lumdish way. Tosfos is bothered by the question, what exactly are you doing over here? Am I digging a hole because I need the hole? Or am I digging the hole because I need the dirt of the hole? Right? And that issue Tosfos speaks about, that's like a side issue. But the point is that ofar tichoach, super granulated dirt or quicksand, whatever it is, so there is no issue of digging a hole. What about mukta? How come it's clear in the Gemara that there's no isser of mukta? The way Tosfos understands the isser of mipnei shemeis is ofar mimekomo, that's a question of mukta. So ultimately, aren't I moving the dirt? I put the egg there, right? What difference does it make if the dirt is somewhat harder or completely soft, right? I am, dirt is dirt, dirt is mukta. So what difference does it make about how soft the dirt is with respect to the moving of mukta? Does any gentleman who is listening to this shiur, does anyone have a suggestion? How come this is not an issue of mukta?
I'll just venture a guess. If it's hard earth, you may need an implement. You may need a shovel, which would certainly be mukta. And if it's soft earth, then maybe you could just move it with your hand. But I'm not sure, what is the mukta, the dirt itself, or is it what you will use to move the dirt?
So the mukta over here is the dirt itself. What Tosfos is being mechadesh, according to Rav Yosef, is that there is a problem of moving mukta even if I use it, even if I move it with a heter item. Can I take a spoon? Right? A spoon is not mukta. Can I take a spoon and bang a rock? That's called tiltum and hatsad in halacha. That is indirect movement of mukta. We are assuming in our Gemara that indirect moving of mukta is forbidden. So if that's the case, how come if I put an egg in quicksand, it is permitted? How come afar tichoach is permitted? So this question, for some weird reason, I didn't see anyone who asked this question. But I have a suggestion. And my suggestion is like this. In Simin Shin Ches Se'if Gimel. Okay, it's a good idea, by the way, to the extent you could have a Gemara and a Shulchan Aruch with you when we say Shir. But look in Simin Shin Ches Se'if Gimel. The Rama writes, he quotes a tshuva from the Maharil, that you're allowed to blow mukta. That is not called moving the mukta. If I wouldn't be wearing a mask, I would demonstrate what I mean by blowing mukta. But like, this happens, no? You try to blow the mukta. The Rama says that blowing mukta is not called moving mukta. Why not? So I would argue that what the Rama potentially means is that it's only called movement if it requires some tiny bit of exertion. Something that you can just blow, right, does not involve any sort of exertion at all. Right? This is Shin Ches Se'if Gimel. It doesn't involve any sort of exertion at all. And consequently, perhaps it is not a problem of moving mukta. And the proof text for that might be what we learned in our Gemara, that there is no concern of mazes afar, according to Rav Yosef. Within Rabbi Yosei, right, there's no concern of mazes afar by afar tichoach. Okay, so let's just go back to where we were. So far, we have three cases in the Mishnah. Case one in the Mishnah is a halacha of cooking in toldos, hachama. When I make the egg rounder, it's forbidden. Case two in the Mishnah is I am cooking an egg on a handkerchief, and that handkerchief was heated in the sun. That is a dispute between Rabbi Yosei in the Mishnah and the Tanakhama. is that permitted or forbidden? And the question is whether todos chama is forbidden because of todos ha'ar. That is case two in the Mishnah. Case three in the Mishnah is a case that Rabbi Yosei agrees for whatever the reason, right? We spoke about two possible reasons, and that's the case of lo yatminena b'chol u'bavak derachim, that I am not allowed to put that egg into the dirt. The dirt that we mentioned gets hot because the wagons go on the dirt and they heat it up. That's the way the Tiferes Eretz Yisrael understood the Mishnah. Case four in the Mishnah. Yes, Mr. Fink.
So the Ramah says it's kol achar yad.
The Ramah writes that blowing muktzah is permitted because it is an indirect way of moving muktzah. Now, there is a long conversation about what's the status of indirect movement of muktzah. And can I move the muktzah, let's say, with my foot instead of with my hand? Most poskim. This is machlokas halacha l'maisa between the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. Am I allowed to like move muktzah with my elbow? No? It's inconceivable that the Ramah would be making a statement that you're allowed to move muktzah with your elbow, and no one noticed that, and the Mishnah Berurah says it's forbidden to move muktzah with your elbow. It can't be that the Ramah really means kal achar yad. So I am interpreting the Ramah, right? You're right, Ellie. This is not the simple reading of the Ramah. I am interpreting the Ramah that what the Ramah means is that blowing muktzah is okay because there's no exertion involved. I cannot bring myself to say that the Ramah really means that I am allowed to move muktzah kel achar yad. If you want to see a discussion about moving muktzah with your elbow or kicking muktzah or the like, you should know, by the way, one of the questions that we always ask people when they're in the process of converting to Judaism to make sure that they know about Shabbos is, what is muktzah? That's like, and then we ask them for some examples of when you're allowed to move items or some things that are muktzah. So this is something that you got to know. But even if you're Jewish, you have to know it. That's the assumption. But the point is that if you look in the Shmiras Shabbos Keilchasa 2.0, in the back of the Shmiras Shabbos, there is an essay precisely about moving muktzah. Is that might be 3.0 that you have. Right, but if you look in the back of 2.0, it could be it's in the back of 3.0 also, I never checked. There is an essay from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach where he tries to prove that you're allowed to move muktzah with your elbow, etc. But it's a huge discussion, a dispute, Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. So that's why I don't want to interpret the Ramah the simple way. Okay, Ellie, it's in there. Okay, it's in the back of 3.0 also. Read that essay and you'll have some fun. Okay, gentlemen. Yes, sir. I'll be with you in a second, Ari. Yeah.
Can you also suggest that it's because you're not actually physically touching the object as well?
Right, so that seems to be the same idea of this egg. I'm not really touching the object. I just drop the egg. I'm not touching the muktzah. I'm not even touching the muktzah with a spoon to move it. I just drop the egg and it goes down.
But you're using two steps to move because you're never touching anything. You're just blowing on something.
I think the blowing is less of a chiddush than this case. I agree with that. But in this case of having the egg move the muktzah just on its own, I think is less of a...
The first case you're moving with your hand.
The regular case of tiltu min hatsad. Tiltu min hatsad means that I move muktzah with a spoon. That's tiltu min hatsad. Right? I use a heter implement, a non-muktzah implement, to move something that's muktzah. That's tiltu min hatsad. Ari, you have a comment?
Yeah, no, just to follow up on that. And is that permitted, tiltul min hatzad? Can you use a spoon?
That tiltul min hatzad is permitted litzorech dover hamutter, not litzorech dover ha'aser. Right? The way it appears in Shulchan Aruch, I'm allowed to use a non-mukta implement to move mukta if I'm doing it for a permitted purpose. If I'm doing it because I need space or whatever, right? A rack, I'm not supposed to move on Shabbos, even if I need the space. But tiltul min hatzad, litzorech dover hamutter, if I want to read on the table and there's a rack there, so to take a spoon and to move it over, that would be okay. That's tiltul min hatzad, litzorech dover hamutter.
So does blowing fit into that category?
Blowing is assumed to be better than that category. Blowing is not called moving mukta at all. Mm-hmm. And the point I'm trying to make is that a slight indication to that idea might be this comment in the Gemara as understood by Tosfos within Rav Yosef, that the issue is moving of mukta. But by quicksand, let's say it's not a problem. Now, those are cases 1, 2, and 3. I should note, once we're talking about case 3 already, that case 3, the way it's presented in the Gemara, is only within Rabbi Yosei. Case 3 of Lo yatminena bavaku becholo bavak drachim, that case where we have the dispute between Rabbi Yosef and Rabbah, that is a dispute only within Rabbi Yosef. You get the impression that case 3 would be absolutely, completely forbidden according to the Chachamim in the Mishnah. Because according to the Chachamim in the Mishnah, it's forbidden to put that egg on the hot ground because that is the gezeira of todos chama atu todos ha'ar. Now, I'm not allowed to heat something with an item that was heated by the sun because maybe I'll heat it, maybe I'll cook it with something that was heated by a fire. So the simple reading of our Gemara is that we have, I'd say, 15 lines of Gemara, which is completely irrelevant as a matter of halacha. That is the simple reading of our Gemara. However, comes along the Maharshal. Right? We mentioned this in passing in our shir about Dud Shemesh, but now we'll do it in a little greater detail. The Maharshal is bothered by a question. You know, the job of the Rif, Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi, who interestingly, right, Yitzchak Alfasi means he is from Fez, but interestingly, as I point out in my Halachic Men series, he never lived in Fez. In all likelihood, he lived in other communities in Morocco, not in Fez. Whatever it is, Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi in the Rif has a job which is to summarize the Gemara and only give the halacha lemaisa parts of the Gemara. So the Rif will omit any part of the Gemara that's not relevant lahalacha. So if you look in the Rif, daf yud ches omer aleph bidape harif, the Rif quotes our machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. And now is time to jump up and down and spit wooden nickels. Like, what the heck is going on here? Why are you quoting a machlokas, Rabbah and Rav Yosef, when it is completely irrelevant for our purposes? Again, in my razzle dazzle, also Hadi Gemara, it's on page Nun Aleph. In the back, in your Gemara, it's on Yud Chesam and Aleph. Right, he quotes in this case, even Rabbi Yosei agrees, and he quotes the dispute between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. So the Maharshal says, why is the Rif quoting this? Maharshal answers, because maybe this dispute is relevant even for the Chachamim. Meaning to say that the Chachamim might not forbid toldos chama atu toldos ha'ar in some cases, And we might need a different reason to say it's forbidden. That reason is either Gezeirah Shema Yatmin or because of Mipnei Shemezes Afar Mimikomo. The dispute in our Gemara, which is only within Rabbi Yosei, according to the Maharshal's reading of the Rif, is also relevant for the Chachamim, because if the Rif quotes it, it's got to be halacha lemaisa. The Rush also quotes it, by the way. The Rush usually just cites what the Rif says. Wow. So Maharshal has an interesting point. That would mean, by the way, gentlemen, how come there are some cases where you don't make a gezeirah of todos chama atu todos ha'ar? How come in some cases, according to the chachamim, will be permitted? So you have to say that in some cases, and you'll forgive me, this is an English word that sounds Yiddish. I have a list of around 20 of them. Far-fetched. No? Isn't far-fetched an English word that sounds Yiddish? Right? So the idea basically is that in some cases, to make a gezeirah of todos hachama atu todos ha'ar is too far-fetched. And even though the chachamim ordinarily make such a gezeirah, but in some cases, they will not make the gezeirah. And therefore, if it is forbidden, it has to be forbidden for a different reason, either of hatmana or mipnei shemezes afar. So our discussion in the Gemara is relevant even for the Chachamim. Now, to just bring it back to what we said last week, perhaps the case of Dud Shemesh is that type of case, that since everybody knows that heating stuff in a solar water heater is not heated by the fire, so then maybe it is permitted based on the ordinary gezeirah of todos chama atu todos ha'ar, but right, it might be forbidden for other reasons, etc. Jake, you had a comment?
So the Maharshal is not trying to claim this Gemara is going even according to the Rabbanon, correct?
Correct.
He's trying to say that in a case where the Rabbanon make an exception, they would also hold these things.
Yes.
So if his only comment is that these are rulings that would apply in other cases, we already use this Maharshal today. Rabbi just made a comment that based on this Gemara would be a smach for the Ramah for saying that Tiltum and Atzad would be mutter.
The Balei Atosos are
arguing here about various issues about the Gemara.
You're going too far afield. What the Balei Atosos are doing is they are explaining the opinion of Rabbi Yosef in the name of Rabbi Yosei.
Right.
And they are saying that opinion obviously holds that Tiltum and Atzad is a problem.
Right.
And what emerges, in other words, I can prove stuff based on assumptions that are being made by other.
But according to Rabbanan, you have no right until Tiltum and Atzad also.
Well, I don't paskin Tiltum and Atzad is usher.
Didn't we say the Balei Atosos are trying to?
The Balei Atosos are explaining this opinion. They are not saying anything halacha. Tosfos is a commentator, not a decisor. Tosfos is not a posek. Right, Tosos in Shabbos is not a posek. Right, Tosos in other Masechtos might be a posek. Tosos in Shabbos is commenting on the Gemara. Mr. Fink, how are you?
Why are we forced to say? Why is the Marshal forced to say that that the Chachamim will hold there some cases that won't be relevant to the gezeira of Tolos Chama? Why don't you just say, even if it is Tolos Chama, if it's a dinner hatmana that has relevance for Shabbat?
Okay, so Mr. Fink basically says, whoa, right? What you are suggesting is that maybe the Gemara is relevant even for the Chachamim, even though the Gemara is only speaking within Rabbi Yosei, but these principles of Shema Yatmin or Mipnei Shemezes Afar might be relevant for other cases.
Slowly,
at least within Rabbah of Shema Yatman, I might have a halakha conclusion that's forbidden even before Shabbos. Hatmana is forbidden before Shabbos, right? If the Isser would be because of a Gezerah Todos Chama Atu Todos Ha'ar, it's only forbidden on Shabbos. Rabbi has to tell me that it is forbidden even because of Shema Yatman, and that would be it's forbidden on Shabbos. Now, for Rav Yosef, you have no extension, no?
Well, Rav Yosef would be to argue if Rabbi is saying would be much according to the common even before Shabbos, but on Shabbos would be also.
Rabbi Yosef would say that no, everybody holds its usher on Shabbos.
Right.
The question is it usher before Shabbos? So Rabbi would say yes, and Rabbi Yosef will say no. Right, you could say that. And the Rashba, which I left downstairs in the base medrash, the Rashba says that. The Rashba seems to say, at least in one or two lines, which I could show you, that maybe there are two reasons why it's forbidden according to the Chachamim. It's forbidden because of Gezer of Todos Chama Atu Todos Ha'ar, and it's also forbidden because of the Hatmana issue. Agreed. That's a fair point. So it's not necessarily proof what we were speaking about with Dud Shemesh, but still our Gemara is not limited to the Tana Rabbi Yosei. Right? So on that point, I think we can concede, right? Would be an essential point.
Would be an essential point because that's if the holders know.
Again, but the right. So what you're saying is, if you would really hold like the Chachamim, if you'd hold that argument within the Chachamim, you should need the Ika Benayhu as well. But according to everybody, I should need the Ikav Enayhu. It's funny that the Rif quotes this and he leaves out the Nafkamina. It is unusual.
The Mahalot Tag Yosefs.
What?
The Rif is the Mahalot Yosefs. It says you're the Ozo Hadar, that there's Kisve Yabot ways.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Sorry.
There's some Kisve Yad in the Rif that have the Ikav Enayhu?
No. The Shidim
Ebu Besses
could say
yeah.
The
Shidim Ebu Besses
could say yeah. Says that it's there, and Vehilei Tebe Kisve Yad, but it's not in the Kisve Yad.
Which are you reading?
Every Ozo Hadar
printed
differently. On the last line, the
Ozo Hadar
has the line.
Oh, yeah, we have the My Benayhu coming out of Tichoa. Interesting. You notice in the Ksav, yeah, it doesn't exist. Okay.
Right. So.
Again, I'm not sure what to do with it, but I do think that the fact that the Rif quotes the dispute between Rabba and Rav Yosef means that somehow the dispute between Rabba and Rav Yosef is relevant for normative Judaism. Is that a fair point? Good. Now, that's cases 1, 2, and 3. Let me just mention a teeny additional point, which I was discussing at length with Ellie this morning. If I'm saying that there are certain cases where the gezer of todos chama atu todos ha'ar does not apply because it's too far-fetched, so one such case might be this case of the handkerchiefs. Remember, the Tana Rabbi Yosei says that you are allowed to cook an egg on a handkerchief. It's permitted. Tosos is bothered by the question, how come I'm allowed to cook an egg on a handkerchief? Shouldn't I be worried that maybe this handkerchief itself was heated by the fire? No? The Tosos Shema. Tosos says, okay, that's an aside. No one would heat up a handkerchief to such an extent that you could cook an egg Because if you would do that, the handkerchief would get burned. Correct? If you have a handkerchief that's heated by a fire to the temperature that you could cook an egg, the handkerchief would be burned. You get the impression from Tosfos that the gezeira of todos chama atu todos ha'or means that people might think that the item which I am using to cook was itself heated by the fire. But if there is no concern that anyone would think that the item I am using was heated by a fire, then there would be no gezeira of todos chama atu todos ha'or, at least for the Tana Rabbi Yosei. But the kernel of that svara could be the basis for what we spoke about from Shlomo Zalman in terms of the Dud Shemesh. Because that svara is basically telling me that the reason why I do not make a gezeira of todos chama atu todos ha'or is because you're not going to mistake the two. If that's the case, we could argue that according to the Chachamim also, if I will not make a mistake, it's going to be permitted. Perhaps the kernel of this svara could be the basis of Reb Shlomo Zalman's kula by the Dud Shemesh. Okay. Case 1, 2, and 3 of the Mishnah. Case 4 of the Mishnah. Oh gosh, it's getting later than I thought. Case 4 of the Mishnah says that once upon a time, it's a story. The people in Tveria bring a pipe of cold water through a basin of hot water through Chamei Tveria, and the Chachamim said, if this happened on Shabbos, you can't drink it, nor can you bathe in it. If it happened on Yom Tov, you are allowed to drink in it, but you're not allowed to bathe in it. That's the last case of the Mishnah. Now, it is unclear what, if any, connection this Mishnah has to the three previous cases. And not that I'm sure this matters, but if you look in the Rif separates what we have in our Mishnah as case 4. The Rif has it as a separate Mishnah. You saw that? The Rif has it as a separate Mishnah. Perhaps that would indicate that case 4 is not really case 4. It's a new case entirely. It's not really connected to the previous cases. Rav Schechter's father wrote his doctorate in Dropsy College on different manuscripts of Mishnah and where they're broken down and whether you can derive anything from that, which is also an interesting, it's something that's worth thinking about. But the Gemara here, at least within that limited approach, within saying that the Tana Rabbi Yosei agrees in case 3, so the Gemara says, well, what about case 4? Would the Tana Rabbi Yosei agree in case 4 as well, that it is forbidden? The assumption is definitely the Tana Rabbi Yosei would say it's forbidden. Why? The Gemara explains, if I hold like Rabbah that the issue in case 3 is hatmana, so case 4 is also hatmana. But if I hold like Rav Yosef that case 3 is because of moving dirt, why would case 4 be forbidden? So the Gemara answers, well, case 4 is forbidden based on case 2, not based on case 3. Right? Case 4 is forbidden because it's a case of toldos ha'or, not toldos ha'chama. Right? That's basically the discussion in our Gemara. The Gemara, then, the bottom line of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, going over to Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara then says, well, the case in our Mishnah is really based on Hatmana. The fact that Anshei Tveria brought this pipe of cold water through the hot water, etc. So the Gemara explains, you see from here that you're not allowed to envelop, cover something on Shabbos. That's considered even Erev Shabbos. Right? You can't, from the episode of Anshei Tveria, we see Batla Hatmana B'davar HaMosif Hevel Afil Miba'od Yom. That's what you see. Now, it's a little strange based on the context of the Gemara, because it would seem that the Gemara is picking up on Rabbah within Rabbi Yosei. So then how could the Gemara be making a halachic statement on Lamed Tesam and Aleph going on over to Lamed Tesam and Beis? Oh, you see that it's an issue of Hatmana. Who says it's Hatmana? Maybe it is a concern of cooking. Maybe it's because of what Rabbi Yosef said, that the issue at hand is that Chamei Tveria is considered Toldos Ha'ar because it passes by Gehenim. Somebody who listens to these Shi'urim, there's like a rabbi in Buffalo who listens to my Shi'urim for some reason. So he sent me an email. He says, how do you know that Chamei Tveria is because it passes by, because it's heated by the core of the earth? That's the way I said it. Maybe the Gemara assumes that Gehenim really is a fire underneath the world. And how can I be making a theological statement about what Gehenim is? I'm like, I don't think so deeply about this. I just try to make Gemara's make sense according to the way I think. I personally have nothing invested into whether Gehenim is actual fire or not. I believe, though, that my soul could be consumed whether there's actual fire there and there's no actual fire there. But I'm not taking a stand on that issue. It's good that people listen to my shiur. Okay, so now...
Mr. Kurtz has been giving a lot of shiurim about purgatory and whatnot recently.
Who's been giving shiurim about purgatory?
Moshe Kurtz.
Oh, yeah? He's my student. He was in my shiur.
Yeah, so...
Oh, okay, so that's...
Maybe he has what to say about it.
Listen, if you read enough Dante, when I was in college, they made us read this, Dr. Lee, and if you took Dr. Lee in college, whatever, I can't say it was... I can't say it spoke to me. I'll say it like that. But this Gemara is a little difficult. How come we're making a halacha lemaisa statement about Hatmana when we are not necessarily talking about Hatmana? You do see from this comment, however, and this is a point that the Pnei Yehoshua makes on our Gemara, that maybe everybody agrees that something is usur because of Hatmana. Even the Chachamim of Rabbi Yosei would forbid case 4 in the Mishnah, not only because it is passing the heat of Gehenna. Maybe it's not passing the heat of Gehenna. But it is forbidden because of Hatmana. According to the Chachamim of Rabbi Yosei, that is the point that the Pnei Yehoshua makes, that our Gemara, at least these last 4 lines of the Gemara, bottom of Lamed Tesam and Aleph, going over to Lamed Tesam and Beis, is talking within the Chachamim as opposed to the previous Gemara that is talking within Rabbi Yosei. Let's take a step back. There is a dispute in case 3. Case 3, lo yatminena b'chol o bavak derochim, even according to the Tana Rabbi Yosei. Why? Rabbi says because of Hatmana. Rav Yosef says because of Mipnei Shemezes Ofer Mimakomo. Why does Rabbi Yosef not forbid it because of Hatmana? Everybody in Judaism holds of Hatmana. The entire 4th parak of Shabbos is about Hatmana. Why does Rabbi Yosef not forbid it based on Hatmana? A similar question, by the way, is asked by Tosis on the top of Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Why do you need to tell me that the pipe of Anshei Tveria is forbidden because of Hatmana? Dude, the whole fourth parak of the Masechta says stuff is forbidden because of Hatmana. Why do you need to prove this? Mimer Chaktovi Lachmo. You're proving it from a Mishnah Lamed Ches. Hello, read the parak called Bametomnin. You see that it's forbidden. Right? So that issue Tosis raises. But a very similar issue we could ask within the Tana Rabbi Yosef. How come Rabbi Yosef, within the Amora Rabbi Yosef, how come Rabbi Yosef disagrees with Hatmana? Everyone has to hold of Hatmana. So comes along the Rashba, right? And the Rashba quotes from his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rashba says that Davar Hamusif Hevel, you can't insulate with certain items that increase heat. By the way, it's not at all clear what this means. The Mishnah gives us a bunch of examples. Gefes, zevel. Gefes is like the residue from an olive press. Apparently, if you insulate your pot in the residue with an olive press, that is called davar hamosif hevel. That adds heat. I'm not exactly sure what it means. I think it has something to do with organic compounds do produce heat. Those of you who have ever composted, if you ever, instead of throw your garbage in the garbage, but if you have like a compost pit, there's like a whole Torah about how to set up a compost pit, no? If you have a compost pit, it gets hot over time.
Does Rebbe have one?
Anyone? Ari, have you ever tried this? No. But you could try it. You can make, there's someone here in the Heights has a composting area. It's on the mountain that goes up from 187th to Fort Washington. There's like a big composting area there. But there are certain items that are called Davar HaMosif Hevel. How come Rabbi Yosef does not agree with Rabba? So says the Rashba that Rabbi Yosef would say that the case of chol and avak drachim, the case of insulating a pot in sand or on the or with the dirt on the road, that is not davar hamosif hevel, because mosif hevel means that the heat continues to rise. When I put a pot in sand, as time goes on, the sand gets cooler and cooler. If my sand was heated by the sun, as it gets darker and darker at night, the sand gets cooler and cooler. You're right. If I put a pot into that sand, a hot pot, it would retain its heat for a certain amount of time. But if I put a cold pot into that sand, if you look in the Rash by the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, this is the way he says it. If I put a cold pot into the sand, so then the heat would not increase over time. Therefore, it is not called Hatmana. If that's the case, so then what our Gemara is saying about Chamei Tveria is as follows. Even though Chol and Avak Derachim is not Dover that is Mosef Hevel, Mosef Hevel means the heat grows and increases over time. B'chol and avak derachim, the heat does not increase over time. What about Chamei Tveria? It could be the chiddush of Rav Chista, etc. on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, turning over to Amud Beis, is that that is called Mosef Hevel. This issue makes it to the page of Shulchan Aruch. Turn to Simin Shin Yud Ches, Se'if Gimel. Just like you're not allowed to cook in the fire, you can't cook in the todos hachama, etc., etc., etc. Right? For example, and toldos hachama is forbidden. If I have a handkerchief that's heated by the sun, I can't cook an egg on it. V'chein lahatmina b'chol o bavak d'rachim, shehuchmu miko hachama is forbidden. You're also not allowed to insulate an egg in the dirt that was heated by the sun. Says the Magen Avraham. Says the Magen Avraham in Se'if Katin Yud. The Magen Avraham writes, "Afil mi ba'odyam." You can't do the hatmana even on Friday. Hatmana insulating is forbidden on Friday. Cooking is only forbidden on Shabbos. Insulating is forbidden on Friday. Says the Magen Avraham, this case of lahatmina b'chol is insulating with something that is mosif hevel, so it's usher on Friday. Comes along Hagon Reb Kiva Eger on this Magen Avraham. Reb Kiva Eger writes, but the Rashba says the chol is not mosif hevel. Right? So this issue makes it to the page of the Shulchan Aruch. Makes it to the page of Shulchan Aruch. Again, the Mishnah Brura, based on what I see, does not. No, the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat in Yud Tes quotes it, no? Mishnah Brura in Sifkat in Yud Tes, Shin Yud Tes Yud Tes. The Mishnah Berurah writes, "Afil mi ba'od yom, it's forbidden. Dechol is a davar hamosif hevel, and you can't be matmin in it." But Reb Kiva Eger quotes in the Rashba that it's not mosif hevel. Oh, right. So this whole conversation makes it to the Mishnah Berurah. Oh, okay, but everyone agrees that Chamei Teveria is called Mosif Hevel because the temperature continues to rise or at least stay the same over time. Sand might not be Mosif Hevel because it gets colder over time. But Chamei Teveria maintains its temperature, so therefore that is called Mosif Hevel, and that might be what our Gemara is getting at. Yes. So the Mishnah says sand is one of the things that's Mosif Hevel. So Eli is asking, how can the Rashba quote Rabbeinu Yonah that sand is not Mosif Hevel, right? That's your question. Right. Good kasha. So the Rashba himself is bothered by that kasha. And the Rashba says, well, sand is Mosif Hevel if you put a hot pot in, and sand is not Mosif Hevel if you put a cold pot in. And that's what the Shar HaTzion over there in that Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Yotes is saying. He's just quoting the whole Rashba. This question that how can Rav Yosef say that the reason why I am not allowed to put an egg in the sand is because of Mipnei Shemeza Zafar, what happened to Hatmana? So this Kasha is also asked by Tosfos. No? The Tosfos at the bottom of the page, Ella. Tosfos writes, V'im Tomar, L'Rav Yosef, Atu Mi Lesle, Gezeira Shema Yatmin Beremetz. Does Rav Yosef ignore the whole fourth Perek? Right? V'om Ehai Taim Asin L'Hatmin Dara Mosef Hevel. V'yesh Lomar. Right? So Tosfos is bothered by the same Kasha. Tosfos' answer is that on Friday, there's an Isser being Matmin Dara Mosef Hevel. But on Shabbos itself, where what I am doing would be the halachic equivalent of cooking, so then there is no reason. Orthodox Jews don't cook on Shabbos. That's the premise here. So no one would be worried that if the food is cold, uncooked, that you're going to put it in to a davar that is Mosef Hevel, because that would be cooking, and no one would do that. Now, what do I see from this? Let's just take inventory. Tosfos is saying that our case three in the Mishnah, of Chol on Avak D'Rachim, and by extension, probably case four in the Mishnah, is talking about on Shabbos itself. If it would be from Erev Shabbos, it certainly is forbidden, because that's called Hatmana. But the issue that we are addressing is on Shabbos itself. That is Tosas Lamed Tesem and Aleph, bottom of the page, Dibur HaMaskil Ella. Grand problem. Tosvos on Lamed Ches Amid Beis, Dibur HaMaskil Maisa, Tosas says that the case is speaking about on Friday. Right? So there's a contradiction in Tosfos. Tosfos on Lamed Ches Amid Beis says that the case is on Miba Od Yom Hevi Uhu. Tosfos says that they take this pipe of water on Friday, but Tosfos on Lamed Ches Amid Aleph is speaking about Shema Mezes Afar, but Tosfos is saying that it's on Shabbos, and presumably the two cases are the same because the Gemara compares them. So this issue, we're going to have to try to speak about next time we learn Gemara. Gentlemen, for the next time we learn, I want you to look carefully at this Tosas Maisa. Look at the Ran on Daf Yud Ches B'Dapei Harif over there, and I'll try to give out some other Makoros, including just reading on in the Gemara. We have three issues in the Gemara. Issue one, cooking. Issue two is the Gemara says some sort of hatmana. Issue number three is this case of the water going through, which is something. Cooking maybe, hatmana maybe, unsure. And there's also an issue called bathing on Shabbos, which comes up in the Mishnah indirectly. And the Gemara will discuss that at some length from Lamed Ches Amid Beis. And that's the next sugya that we'll have to talk about is bathing on Shabbos. But before we get there, we have to understand what exactly is going on in the case of Anshei Tveria, and then we can talk about the bathing. Okay, gentlemen, any questions, comments, observations, jokes? Okay, guys, have a good day. I'm going to go on down to Mincha, and tomorrow, one second. So Tuesdays, we try not to do Gemara. Would people be interested in another shiur or in a day off? Why don't you send me stuff on the WhatsApp group? I'm happy to give another shiur.
I'm putting forth my Chazara shiur recommendation
You want Chazara shiur. Okay.
I don't know that thing, but for me, it would be very helpful to,
review some of the stuff that we've done. If other fellows are interested in that, that's a possibility. Or maybe we could start that maybe a week or two from now, especially if we'll be giving a midterm. I'll say it like that. Okay. So why don't you send something to the WhatsApp group about whether you're interested in a different topic or in a day off. And okay. Everyone should have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.